Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And I just think it makes a huge difference for the I was distracted. There's Tuco Salamanca from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, sorry.
I could. I usually don't lose my concentration, but you never know when you're going to get your brains bashed in by Tuco. That was fun yesterday during the joint Megapix podcast here in Phoenix, Arizona. Super Bowl just 3 days away?
3 days.
Is it 3 days?
Yeah.
I have lost all track of time. This is like being in a casino. There's no clocks. There's no light. You're just here. And we're here for the next 2 hours. And oh boy, we got a couple of great interviews in the can already. Justin Jefferson coming up. T. Higgins was just with us. We've got Isaiah Simmons showing up at some point during this segment, plus many more today. Our good friend Emmett Smith will be here at the bottom of the hour. And we just had a little excitement before the program began. You know, some days when we BS about things for 10 minutes or so, we have to stretch.
Right.
No stretch today. Because just about 5 minutes
before do we have this already?
Showtime. I don't know if they've recaptured it and turned it around.
Because I fell down.
I don't know that there's enough cameras here to fully appreciate what occurred, but Chris fell. Fall down, go boom. And you handled it very well. It was kind of like a slow motion, because we're up by about, what is that, 2 feet, 2.5 feet?
Yeah, probably.
Something broke, and down Chris went, sprawling onto the carpet, uninjured. He's fine. Wasn't holding a coffee. No pratfall. Didn't take me out either. Thank God I wasn't in any
Thank God we didn't break your hip or something. Oh, here it's coming.
Here it is. This is the first,
I just saw her.
First exclusive video. Down he goes and the road. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, man.
Dumbass.
I couldn't believe it. I thought I was going to be able to keep my balance. Like, as I was going down, I was like, well, I'm not going to really go down. Like, I'm going to stumble, but I won't fall.
That's the new gift. That replaces puking into the trash can.
Gosh, man. I stepped on this little metal thing back here because there were some wires, and it gave way. And, that was like what we talked about on Monday, right? The old quarterback's got to go with the fall. There's the art of the fall. Once I knew I was going down, I just went with it.
The role is priceless. The role is priceless. So I'm just glad you're not hurt. That was just, I mean, hey, you could have gotten injured. I'm glad you're not injured.
I
wouldn't have been able to do the show without you. You'd be in a sling.
Well, it could have been, I could have got injured, though, and it could have been the Chris Sims show. Welcome to Chris Sims Peacock. He owns the station now.
So I was like, where's this going? Yeah. No, I would have testified that it was your fault.
Okay.
I'll protect the Peacock. If it comes down to it.
Okay.
So we're here on Radio Row all week long, live on Peacock, Sirius XM85, Sky Sports NFL every day. The folks in the UK and Ireland are thrilled that we are live. They heard Chris say a bad word 3 times in succession, machine gun style yesterday.
Yes.
No bleeps available. But it's been great. 1 o'clock over there. No, 1 o'clock here. 6 o'clock at night over there. I don't know what time it is here. I still can't get used to being in the mountain time zone, 2 hours from home.
I'm a little
That's
I'm a
the
little
thing
out
I miss most. Other than my dog, I miss most not being, and that's the other thing I noticed today too. I miss my dog so much. Every dog I see, I want to go up and not just like pet it all. I want to like grab it and talk to it and pretend it's my dog.
Well, you could have brought your dog out here.
No.
You could have brought Macy.
No, couldn't. She was not trained.
Did not train to go to the flight.
Plane.
The flight.
No, no way. No.
All right.
Would have been bad.
She'll love you like a king when you get
It'll
back
be great.
On Monday
no,
night.
No, no, no. Because Jill is the alpha.
All right.
I will get some collateral.
Right.
You know, tail wag. But
yeah.
She'll
hey,
be all
hey,
over mom.
Hey. Yeah. Good to see you, you jerk. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Where's Jill? Where's she at?
All right. So we got some stuff to talk about before we get to the guest today. And one thing that I was very interested in. Deion Sanders was here earlier with Peter King, and Deion's the one who started the talk months ago about a Hall of Fame within the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And
right.
when Tom Brady retired last week, we just kind of spontaneously brought it up, and I said, you know what, maybe there should be
yeah.
something more than just gold jacket, put the bust in the room with all the others. All due respect, I mean, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, but there are certain, and you've talked about it,
yeah.
the inner room. The Lawrence Taylors of the world, the guys who clearly are the best of the best.
Right.
Here's Deion with Peter King discussing Deion's belief, along with ours, that there should be a Hall of Fame within the Hall of Fame.
How would you sort of separate if you had your choice in the Hall of Fame? Would you really want to have a wing of the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, upper room.
An upper room.
You got to have an upper
and
room.
And so how do you decide who's in it?
Shoot, they decide who's in it. The game decides who. You know who changed the game. Like if you just say, okay, so you're going to put LT beside some of the guys that y'all have been putting in the last few years. You just going to have them sit beside LT like it's cool? You guys can't feel good about this stuff, but you have a quota. You shouldn't have to meet a quota every year to send guys in. If they ain't that, they ain't that. That's not right.
Yeah.
Because that's what y'all told me.
But here's the biggest issue. How in the world would you decide who goes in the upper room? You say,
the
well,
room
they'll choose
the upper room. What the upper, you know who should decide? We should decide that. Y'all need to get out of the way and let us decide the upper room. Y'all have done your thing, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it immensely because you earned the right to be on that committee to vote. The upper room, that should be us because when we're together, we know who ain't got no business in there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I can listen to that all day.
All
awesome
day.
Interview by Peter King of Deion Sanders.
And we talked to him off the air for a second.
Let the Hall of Famers, decide who's in the upper room. I think that's great. I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well,
they know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think there's a lot of those conversations that go on already where Hall of Famers go, yeah, I
who's
mean,
that?
Hey, why is he, you know, I played against him. He doesn't really, we never looked at him as a Hall of Fame player, right? You know, unfortunately, yeah, I think Deion makes the right point. The quota is a huge problem. You know, they don't do that in Major League Baseball.
No, they got to have a certain number. Look, it's a business.
I know.
It's a museum. Canton is relevant to the sports world one weekend out of the year. And that's fine. Nothing against Canton.
Sure.
But without the Hall of Fame, Canton is just any
other nothing. I
mid-level
hear you.
City that doesn't have an NFL team.
Yeah.
That is like every other place that doesn't have an NFL team.
Yeah.
It's got the Hall of Fame. It's the epicenter of pro football for one weekend out of the year. And so you got to have 8 busts. You got to have maximum hotel stays.
Yeah, village.
You've got to
right.
have, yeah, village. not a word. If it was anybody else, they probably a word, village. And watch, it's probably a word. But, you know, the parade, maximum people, fans there at the games. You know, they tie in the games to who's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah. And every year I'm like, and we're going to get the names tonight of the new class. And there's going to be a couple where I'm going to be like, come on.
Yeah.
But they have, yeah, there is a quota.
I know.
Every year. Push them through.
It's a quota. It's become way too political, you know, as we've discussed. I think we both know little stories about certain guys behind the scenes where it's like, yeah, they didn't make it, but they're not going to take no for an answer. And they're just going to continue to beat down the media that they know and other players they know to prop up this conversation until they get in. And I don't just think that's right either. You know, that's to me, I know.
Best example is Eli Manning.
Well,
and look, Eli Manning's a borderline case, but because last name is Manning,
right.
and now he's got this media career, and he's
sure.
going to have Peyton pushing him,
right.
and his dad pushing him, the voters are just going to get, like, how many years can you resist putting Eli Manning in?
Right.
He's getting in.
And okay if he gets in. He shouldn't get in first ballot, but you're right. I think that's a guy that you'd go, it's
but you look at the numbers,
well,
you could make the argument.
His career winning percentage is 500.
Yeah.
You know, or is it below 500?
I don't think it's below.
It's like he had a win like the last game of his career to go above 500. It was something like that.
And Shireen Williams, who's one of the Hall of Fame voters, said at one point late in his career, you know, if he hangs around long enough, he's going to torpedo his own Hall of Fame case.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not just what you did that was good. It's what you did that was bad.
Right.
And if you do enough bad, it undermines the good and you don't get in.
Yeah, well, certainly you're right. There's something of that. It does. It can deter if you hang around too
Kurt
long.
Kurt Warner had that donut hole in the middle of his career that he had to overcome.
Right,
to get
exactly
in.
Right. Yeah, there's that. But I think there's too many cases where, you know, and again, I'm not going to name names here and do that, but you've heard me talk behind the scenes where some guys get in the Hall of Fame on a team, on a defense, let's just say, and you talk to the other guys that coach that defense are like, wait, he's in the Hall of Fame, but this guy that we thought was the best player on our defense is not? And it's just like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's called everybody in the world and politicked everybody in the world and called every Hall of Famer that gets involved and talking to the media people as well. And it just, now they're in the Hall of Fame. And that's where it's gone, it seems, sideways a little bit over the last few years.
And I know why it frustrates you, because if your dad was willing to play that game, he'd be in. But
maybe.
Your dad's not playing that game. Your dad's not. And that's the right way to do it. Like, your resume speaks for itself. I don't need. There's something unseemly, frankly, about, you know, instigating a political push to try to get yourself some honor. You either deserve it or you don't. But the problem is the people who politic and take those seats take them away from the people who deserve them, who are keeping their mouths shut.
I would agree with that, right? And that, I think, you know, my father is like us. You know, he's more like, wait, the Hall of Famers are guys like, you don't even discuss. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, John Elway. Oh, Lawrence Taylor. Yeah, Reggie White. Right, that's them. I don't know if he never viewed himself in that class. But to your point, then he started to see some people get in, and he's like, wait, they're in? You know, you could talk to anybody in my era, and they'd tell you, I'm better than that guy, but I can't believe he's in, and whatever. So, yeah, that's where it's become a little confusing, and maybe the answer is to what Deion's been saying all along, is that it just needs to be a special room where, okay, yeah, they get voted in by the media, boom, now the Hall of Famers or a special group of Hall of Famers votes in, wait, does anybody in this class deserve to be in our little area here? I can get behind that. I think there's some logic there.
And, you know, there will still be political efforts among that.
Right.
But the reality is, and I trust Deion in this regard, he's going to put his name on that. He knows who belongs. And he would be a great gatekeeper. You know, if one of the upper room Hall of Famers or one of the lower room Hall of Famers who's in the process of deciding who gets in is trying to push a friend.
Yeah, right.
It's like, come on. And you let them hash it out among themselves without anyone else around. Let the football players who are the best of all time work it out among themselves. Let their personalities work it out, and they'll know. They'll know who belongs in. I love that approach.
I do, too. Guys like Deion and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Peyton Manning, they watch the game to a point where they know who those guys are. They're following everything. That's why Deion can speak to it the way he can speak to it, is he's a great fan that watches it
all,
too.
You know what else you do? You televise it.
Oh.
You televise it. With Deion and Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu and all of the Hall of Famers figuring out who deserves to be within that upper room.
Right.
And I've said, look, okay, you have your Hall of Fame class. You could do one member of the upper room. I like that. I like that. It's less clunky than Hall of Fame within the Hall of Fame.
Right.
The upper room, one a year for 10 years. Yeah. Do the first 10 that way. And then maybe do it every other year after that. But you could come up with a formula, and you got to have an initial. Like, who are the ones of the Hall of Famers now?
Yeah.
And then moving forward, you got to have a process for it, but they'll just know. Like with Tom Brady, we know. It's nobody else. It's Tom Brady. Now, Peyton Manning, you know, I don't know. Would he be in the upper room? I'll let the Hall of Famers figure that out.
Oh, come on. Of course he would.
Okay, he's in the upper room then.
Yeah.
I just want to be, you know, because it's two quarterbacks from the same era.
I got you.
I feel like it should only be one.
Oh, well, you know? Okay. I know. But there can be a more one than upper room type of player at a position in the era, right?
Yeah.
You just said Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. We're not going to cancel one of them out,
right? Because the other one happens to be a safety.
Right.
That's
They're
fair.
Both amazing.
All right. Peyton's in the upper room.
Yeah.
I mean, but not Eli.
Well, I'm not. I mean, no, he's not. I don't mean to be. I mean,
that's the
all
difference.
The respect for
that's
Eli.
That's the difference.
But you're right.
Even if Eli's getting a gold jacket at some point. But Peyton's upper room, Eli's not.
Yeah.
It's obvious, it's simple, and Deion would agree.
When I played, I mean, if we played the Colts or the Giants, listen, respect for Eli and all that. And you know my thoughts. He's one of the greatest Giant quarterback of all time. But it wasn't like playing Peyton. Peyton, like, the whole organization was on edge. Oh, my gosh, it's Peyton. Hey, we can't do this or he's going to do that. We can't show this too early or he's going to check to that. I mean, it was like an inevitable force. Oh, wait, the Colts got the ball and they're down by six in the fourth quarter? It wasn't like, oh, I hope we can stop them. It's just like, man, I hope they go down and score quick and we have some time left. You know, and I didn't get to play against him. I was backup in these situations. But it was like he was a force of nature. You know, Peyton Manning in his prime, I could argue he's the greatest I've ever seen in his prime. So he would definitely be upper room.
I've actually heard people say they were more concerned about facing Peyton than facing Tom Brady. Well, from that perspective,
agreed.
Everyone is scared to death.
Agreed. I think that is the total truth. My experience, and when I was on teams that played Peyton, and we were on teams that played, you know, New England was a little bit more about the whole team, and it wasn't just like, you know, Brady at the line of scrimmage making checks and always doing the right play. It was just about, man, they do a lot of things right as a football team. When I was on Tennessee or Tampa or Denver and we played Peyton, it was like the most stressful week of the year for D coordinators. And you could tell the secondary guys and everybody was it was another stratosphere of stress, and we got to disguise and do all these special things. And that's why Peyton was Peyton Manning.
And they are the alphas of the alphas.
Yeah.
I trust them to come up with who else belongs because they know it undermines their own status if they let somebody in the upper room who shouldn't be in.
Right.
Just the way Dion explained it was great.
Oh,
it was great.
Dion. I could listen to Dion
perfect.
All day.
I could too. I kept waiting for that clip to go on. It's like, I want to hear more. It's a great explanation. I'm glad Peter King got into it with him because it's relevant now that Tom Brady's retired and he would be in that upper room.
Yeah.
And I don't know who all gets in. That's the thing. They know who gets in. It's just the best response. We know.
Yeah.
And they know.
Right.
The players who belong in it know. And it shouldn't be all that difficult. Not nearly as difficult as it is to draw the line as to who gets in the Hall of Fame and who doesn't.
You.
We'll be joined by Isaiah Simmons here momentarily. Until we get to that, yesterday, a significant comment from Ron Rivera, the Commanders coach. Now, this had been reported, and we had confirmed it, but he said it directly here. Sam Howell enters the offseason program as QB1, and they're not going to get on this treadmill of looking for one of the veterans who will be available. Last year, they called every team to see if their quarterback would be available in trade, and they got dragged a little bit for it. Oh, you called the Chiefs. How dare you? Well, hey, this is a way to make sure we're not missing anything. You turn over every stone, not just some of the stones, and they found Carson Wentz, and now they're going to find Sam Howell, and they're going to find a veteran backup to support Sam Howell. That's the plan, and let's see. You got a guy on a rookie contract for 3 more years, and maybe they have something. And, you know, one thing that I know the Commanders believe, if he had been in the draft a year earlier, he would have been a first-rounder.
Sure,
so
right.
They think they got a guy that's really going to make a difference.
The timing of when you come out, right, the publicity behind that, yeah, he probably would have been a higher draft pick, you know, if he had come out a year earlier. His name was hotter. He had a better year his junior year than senior year. I was shocked when he said that to us yesterday. I really was.
I was shocked he was that kid. I knew that was the case, but to come out and say it was surprising.
Yeah, just to come out and say it, like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and you know, again, just I thought maybe we'd get, hey, you know, he'll be able to compete for it. But he flat out said, no, he's QB1 when we start OTAs. And then they're going to find some sort of veteran presence there, you know, for just in case. But they've obviously seen enough. He is a very natural playmaker, that's for sure. And, you know, he can throw a deep ball. And he can move in the pocket a little bit and make plays like we saw in that Dallas Cowboys football game there at the end of the season. So we'll see if he can capitalize that and see if they can have their guy for the future.
We are here in Arizona, by the way. We would be remiss if we didn't talk at some point about the Cardinals or maybe talk to a Cardinal. So let's do both. The Cardinals are still looking for a head coach. We have 3 vacancies filled. 2 vacancies remained. It's been reported that the Cardinals will not be hiring a new head coach until after the Super Bowl. The Colts probably in that same bucket, but eventually we think the Cardinals will have a head coach again. Isaiah Simmons is a great linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, and here he is. This is the magic of camera technology. See, we put up that screen, and we get it all in order.
And we look like it was all set up.
And here he is.
Bam, there he is.
As natural as it can possibly be, Isaiah Simmons joining the program. Isaiah, how are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. You're doing great. Great to be here in Arizona.
Yeah, how's the weather?
You're a great host.
Is the weather doing you
good? It's cold.
Oh, what?
Come on. At night, it's cold.
I'm from, I'm live up in, like, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. It's been cold. It's been 8 degrees.
But when you come to Arizona, you kind of, I didn't know that it was 40 degrees at night in the wintertime. It's kind of nice. It's kind of refreshing.
So when that sun goes down, that desert cold is...
It's real.
Yeah.
It is.
I've been trying to tell people, they're like, no way. I'm like, just find out for yourself.
Yeah, right, right. They'll figure it out when they get here.
Yeah.
All right, you had a big year this year. I mean, I feel like your role got settled down finally. You know, am I right to say that? No Jordan Hicks. They finally kind of figured out how to maybe use you the correct way. Am I correct to say that? Maybe not there yet.
You know, so much in my opinion, I would say that I moved more into, like, my natural position, more of what I was doing at Clemson. You know, I was more so in that, like, nickel safety role.
Roving around the field.
Rolling around in that area, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I just felt like, you know, I'm just finally starting to get back to what I do. And I really feel like last year was really just like just putting the 1 foot through the door, you know.
Yeah.
We're just getting started.
Well, when you say getting back to what you do, like, explain that to people out there. Like, you mean just like being in the middle of the field and they just say, like, go get the ball and you can run around and do that. And
then like see ball, get ball.
Well, a little bit. I mean, I feel like that's what you did at Clemson a lot of times when you were there.
I just think Really what it is, is just being able to, you never know, I could be in the post, I could be in the half field, I could be blitzing off the edge, blitzing through
the gap. It's insane.
You know, I could be a hook curl, curl flat, you just, you know, you never know. And I can do that all from anywhere, honestly, anywhere.
Linebacker, free safety, nickelback, you did it all.
We had a discussion before the show, how do we describe Isaiah? Linebacker, safety, what do we call him? It's like, well, I'll just ask you, what do you call yourself?
When I get asked, I normally say like linebacker, safety, and then I go, well, I kind of just a little bit of everything. So that's pretty much what I say, linebacker, safety, with a little bit of everything.
You like that though, don't you? Having the freedom to move around, confuse the offense a little bit. They never know where you're going to pop up.
Yeah, because I mean, the way I view football is conceptually, not so much a position wise and, you know, what's the difference between a linebacker playing hook curl or safety
doing
down,
it. You're right. Same job.
No, it's the same job.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
When I look at it that way, I feel like that's
yeah.
That's why.
Well, there's one label we can't apply to Isaiah Simmons, and that's head coach. Although the job is open, I mean, you could apply for it at this point. How's it feel to be this deep into the offseason and not have a head coach?
I'm really anxious just to see who it is, just because, you know, I'm ready to get started on, you know, our new beginnings, just on building the foundation of the team, and, you know, just learning about our head coach and what he's envisioning for the team, and, you know, like I said, just get going. So I'm super anxious for it. After the season, I was told it was going to be about 2 weeks.
Right.
We passed that deadline. Yeah, we passed that deadline. Right. So I'm super anxious for it.
So, like, take us through the year a little bit. I mean, playoffs 2 seasons ago, it looked like everything was on the up and up, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw a comment from Buda Baker a few days ago talking about training camp. He didn't feel like people were kind of on their P's and Q's and focused. Mm-hmm. Like, where did it slip up or go wrong for you guys this year, in your opinion?
Yeah. You know, like Buda said, in training camp, you could tell that maybe at times...
It's a little relaxed.
It was a little too relaxed.
Yeah.
And... You know, training camp, that's when you really find out a lot about your team.
Definitely.
And at times I felt like a lot of that carried over into the season, you know, with people being maybe too relaxed or taking advantage of
the culture and showing up to a meeting a little late or
moseying like
out on the practice field where you're like,
exactly,
man, we've all been out here, but you're coming out a minute late. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so just a higher sense of urgency.
Right.
That'd be the best way I could say
it.
Yeah,
I got you.
Sense of urgency.
I got
is that
you,
what you want in a coach? You want somebody who's going to be kind of the opposite of the culture and come in and take over and hold guys accountable and expect more? And what you want?
So last year, just my time in the NFL has been my first time with a coach of that structure, and I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, I really think it just depends on what type of professional you are. You know, because the guys that handle their business and are locked in on what they need to do. You see them. They're performing well.
Some of the older guys and been
exactly,
around a little bit.
The guys who understand.
Right,
you know, exactly.
Right.
You know, those guys, they're still performing well and they're yeah. understanding what they need to do. But, you know, also, you know, coming from Clemson, you know, everything was like this.
Oh,
you know, this
is what Dabo
this
had
is the
you
way
on.
We're going
yeah,
to do it.
Right. It's but, my way or the highway.
But it worked. And, you know, when it's working and you're winning, it doesn't bother you. And you start to not know anything different. So I really appreciate coaches that are like that as well. Just that set the structure, because honestly, football, you know, it's all about structure. And I feel like it's very important.
You got a great feel for the game. So I want to ask you, like, I know it was early in the year. You played the Chiefs, mm-hmm. first game of the year. You played the Eagles, you know, in that first quarter of the season, too, at least the first half of the season. Give us your, you know, assessment of those teams and how you kind of break it down for the Super Bowl. What jumped out to you about both of them?
Well, we can start with number 15.
Okay. Isn't it funny how every conversation starts with 15? It's
yeah.
just amazing.
You know, personally, I'd say he's probably the best player I've played against this
yeah,
far.
Explain it, too. Tell the fans, like, what is it like playing Mahomes? What is it where you're just like, holy crap?
I just feel like just when you think you got him beat, he figures out some way to do something spectacular.
Right.
You don't know how he's going to throw the ball. Obviously, we've learned left, right, underhand, overhand.
Side arm.
Through like a hook.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hook shot.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
And along with that, like, he's smart, mobile on his feet, accurate off the throw, accurate off his feet.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. You've never seen anything like him.
Along with that, you know, he has, you know, arguably, you know, the best tight end to play the game.
Right.
So just they're going to find the matchups. But just to flip to the Eagles side.
Yeah, what about them?
You know, they're loaded.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, they have one of the six D lines ever.
Right.
We see what they're doing. You know, they might make history of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Hurts is, we see what he's doing.
Right.
You know, he's playing like MVP. So
yeah.
That, along with their receivers, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, you got to give credit where credit's due.
So you look at the Eagles like this and the Chiefs like this.
That's not necessary.
But the quarterback. We've been saying all week, yep. where the Eagles are better. We know that. We're
yes.
with you. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But is it by so much that number 15 in red can't even it out?
I feel like, you know, he makes up so much that it's going to be a tough game.
It's going to be a tight one.
Yeah.
You got to lean yet?
It's hard to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
All right. I hear you.
You guys have a pretty good quarterback in Kyler Murray, but he's currently injured. Mm-hmm. Have you been keeping tabs on how he's doing as he recovers from this ACL? Because that's a big deal for a guy with that much reliance on his explosion and mobility to have to come back from that and trust it going forward.
Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that he's been progressing, working hard at it, but he's kind of private about it, which, you know, I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, but, you know, he's not just super deaf in detail, but, you know, the updates, we appreciate the updates, and we know that he's doing well and getting better day by day, so really looking forward to seeing him back on the field.
He seems super private, like
yeah.
like even for the guys on the team. Like you like, do you get to hang out with Kyler and like
occasionally comes to hang out with us.
Yeah,
he comes to hang out with us.
Right, like I know he's one of the guys, but he's soft spoken and kind of quiet, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I mean it's nothing wrong with it. You know, everybody's not a social.
Yeah,
wants
he
to be out and
but you need to be a leader at some point, or somebody's got to be the
right,
leader. Is
correct.
He emerging as a leader despite his personality, or are others becoming the leaders instead?
Yeah, I do. I think I just feel like in this past year, he really improved with it. Just stepping out of what he would normally do, which, you know, I'm not saying what he normally does is a bad thing, but, you know, just stepping out of what he would normally do and
trying to grow as a player and
yeah,
a leader.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we all, every player in the NFL, to Patrick Mahomes, to, you know, whoever you want to say, has things to work on. So,
yeah.
You know, we're all growing.
Yeah. yeah. When you look at your Cardinal football team, because I want to hear your sales pitch here in a minute,
mm-hmm.
what's like the one area of the team where you kind of felt like, oh, man, we're a little mismatched here? I mean, I know you got a lot of good players and all
mm-hmm.
that. I'm not trying to – but another top-tier pass rusher, more big people in the middle of the line. What do you kind of look at? You go, like, man, we kind of had some issues in that department.
In my opinion, I can only speak for defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say – not that we missed it, because I feel like the guys we have in the future to come, that they're going to be like top dogs. But, you know, when you lose a guy like Chandler Jones, you're going to feel it. A guy who has over 100 sacks, even though we have JJ who has over 100 sacks. Just Chandler's presence,
on the outside, on the edge.
You know what I mean? It's almost unmatched.
Right.
And we see what those guys are doing. I mean, look at Hassan Reddick.
Right.
Guys like Chris Jones, you see what he's doing.
So that pass rusher, in your opinion, changes the defense in a big way.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, schematically, you know, you may have to change what you're doing in the back seven.
Yeah, I hear you there.
The more resources they have to spend to slow down the pass rusher, the less they have to deal with the guys in the back seven. The guys can run a little more free.
Right, and the QB, if he knows he doesn't have time to throw it.
Rushes, you know, decisions. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so you're here today on behalf of Legacy League NFT Exchange. Tell us more about it.
So, yes, Legacy League, it's a premier sports NFT exchange for college athletics and universities. And the alumni fans, you can collect and support it. And if you don't know what an NFT is, it's a digital form of, could be like a picture of a painting.
Right.
And they're all one of a kind. And, you know, everybody,
you can own the rights of those,
to own the rights of them. Right. Yeah. So
carry it around in your phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like that's definitely becoming the future, just like with the meta world and just the way things are advancing. So
it's almost like the new age trading cards to a degree, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right.
I've seen a lot of cool ones out there, so looking forward to see a lot of more cool ones.
Yeah, I've seen some out there that aren't very cool, but I'm not going to talk
about
that.
I've seen
some bad ones, too.
You need to make some. Some, too.
Hey, so in the works.
It's in the works?
All right. Hey, Isaiah, thanks for some of your time. Congratulations on all your success, and hopefully you'll have a head coach by, who knows, maybe this time next week.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there he is. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Where it all happened, and here's where it's been happening all week. Our good buddy Bruce Arians is hanging out back here.
I know. I'm hoping he comes over here.
I would have brought him a cigar. Get him
around
up here
a little bit.
Get him up. Now, you would not have my back in that
I would. But I'd like to see it start out a little bit, and then I'll get your back.
I have a feeling that he would speak freely and candidly. And
I know.
I would go run and hide under the desk.
Yeah, he's definitely.
So
I always enjoy B.A., and he might walk by and say something colorful, too.
Well, nothing more colorful than anything you would ever say. There he is. Bruce Arians. All right. This is a live TV show. How are you, Bruce? Good to see you, buddy. Yeah, there he is. Two-time coach of the year. Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, no, that's what's awesome about Bruce Arians, though. He doesn't.
He gets it.
He does
he knows
get
how
it.
It works.
He knows maybe you wrote a few things that were not.
He told me last year, say what you want. That
exactly.
was his walk-off
well,
from his farewell press
right.
conference as coach
but
of the Buccaneers.
He doesn't
try. Write whatever you want.
He looked you in your eye, shook your hand right
well,
there.
Well, he had sunglasses on. I can't tell.
Well, he was looking. I think he was looking. All right. But yeah, that's what I respect about Bruce Arians.
And, you know, I was looking yesterday at the coach of the year.
Yeah.
There was a weird 4 years where it was him 1 year,
right.
then Ron Rivera, then him again. Then Ron Rivera.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
That is. That really is.
Who's going to be coach of the year this year? We're going to find that out tonight. I figure it'll be Daboll.
I would think Daboll or Doug Peterson. I think it is, to me, the closest race ever because I am one, too, that, again, you know, I know we had this conversation where Shanahan deserves to be in that. What Shanahan did with a third-string quarterback, I know we all knew they were going to be good, but all I'm saying is they were dominant, as we talked about. It wasn't just good and they were, like, finding ways to win. They were blowing teams out with a third-string quarterback. That's where I just think he deserves to be in the combo.
And the other reality that I think a lot of people still don't understand, it's based on the regular season. The voting happens three
right.
days after the regular season ends. So it doesn't matter that Nick Sirianni beat Brian Daboll because there's some saltiness over the fact that Sirianni isn't one of the finalists.
Sure.
Or maybe he will be. I can't remember. They listed the finalists, and I don't think he was one of them. But there was a point in the regular season where it seemed like he was the no-brainer, that
yeah.
he was the guy who was going to win it.
Well, he got a little just of the old tale of we all thought the Eagles were going to be great, right? And they were so good and dominant that I just don't think it shocked
yeah.
people, really. We were all kind of expecting that from them.
And it also tailed off for them.
Yes, right.
Down
the stretch. They lost some mojo.
They were the clearly best team, and then it started to just kind of fizzle out toward the end of the
right.
year. Here's a guy who never fizzles out.
Oh, baby.
Where's the
Look
tequila? Where's
What's
the
up?
Tequila? No
you
tequila this time?
Yeah, I
What's
got
up,
it.
Emmett?
I was just
right.
running late. I just left them behind.
Yeah, that's okay.
It'll show
more
up.
More important.
It'll show up.
We'll get the tequila
One
here.
Of the all-time greats, the all-time rushing leader, Emmett Smith, joining us again at the Super Bowl. Emmett, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Awesome.
We're great.
Great to have you.
Excellent. Yeah, you doing good, man?
I'm good. I can't complain. I won't.
Yeah. All right. All right. You can. I mean, we'll take it
no,
if you want.
Well, not everybody take it.
Right.
we got a special video. We're going to roll the video. Chris will be very upset. Chris may start crying.
Oh, here we go.
Because it's from
I know what's happening here.
That...
There it is.
We have Emmett on. We got to always talk about the shoulder game. I mean, that's just... It
Why
was
we got to talk about the shoulder game?
It was a part of my childhood.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it's about that game. Here it is.
I mean, that game was a key to us being successful in the playoff.
Good snap. The hold is up. The kick's on the way.
And the Giants, with Phil Simms, came within an overtime period against Dallas of winning home field advantage through the playoffs. Then who knows what could have happened.
How old were you at that time?
I was 13.
13?
Yeah, I was very aware. I was out in the, you know, the tunnel of the old Giants stadium,
right?
And they had that ramp, right?
Right.
I was right there by you after the game as you were getting on the bus because I was waiting for Dad and... You know, Dad was talking to Jimmy a little bit and Troy and after the game. But, yeah, special moment. All right, so here's a – I mean, Dad always says the greatest team he ever played was the 92 Cowboys, 93 Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you guys go on, like you said right there, do you think you go on and win the Super Bowl if you didn't win that game right there and had home field?
I'm not sure if we do or not.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure how well I would have been able to perform if I did not have
– The week
that,
off.
That week off.
Right.
Because – I mean, almost 7 days after that, I still had swelling in my shoulder and in my trap, and it was still uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how well I would have been able to perform.
Yeah, right. They'd have to do it some other ways.
Yeah, we were good, but I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, we would have had to do it some other ways.
Right.
You have to have superpowers to be a professional athlete, but you had a higher level. I've told you this before, but it really is amazing. We've talked to guys all week about what it means to play running back and go between the tackles against those giants that are literally trying to throw you to the ground and land on top of you. And you just had a knack for playing through anything and everything. Because it's not like you avoided it. You just found a way to play through it.
Well, you have to find ways to play through certain things. I mean, some things you can play through. Then there are others that you just absolutely cannot do anything
right.
with. There's a difference between being hurt and injured. Hurt, you should be able to play.
Right.
Injured, you're on the sideline.
Right. right.
But... In games like this, that means so much.
and I still have my legs. I got to have my legs to get away. You can manage through some of the other stuff. Right. Some of the other stuff, things are manageable.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Like Patrick Mahomes, for example.
Yeah. Right.
High ankle sprain.
Right.
He managed.
Right.
Through last week's game or 2 weeks game, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Managed through it. Got the ball where he needed to get it, and they performed well.
Right.
He could do the same thing come Sunday.
Right. Well, you know, while we're on them, like, I know you guys had a dynasty. They're not a dynasty yet, but it's right. 3 out of 4 years, right. Like you guys, right? Right. You know, what jumps out to you about their run that kind of makes the Chiefs magical?
Right now,
yeah.
Is the fact that Tyreek Hill is not there.
Yeah.
Right. And they made an adjustment to bring in other guys to fulfill that role, and right. They are doing it.
Right.
The consistency and the expectation of the team.
It's impressive,
it's
right?
It's impressive.
Yeah.
The focus and the discipline of that team is impressive. The nucleus of that team is still there.
Yeah.
So they're plugging and playing and growing and building with new people.
Yeah.
And those people are becoming more comfortable and more effective at what they're doing in this offense and on this team. So, am I surprised? No, not really.
Right.
Because you still have a great quarterback, tight end, and other players that are making plays. And that defense is, you know, they haven't been great all year,
right.
But they've been good enough.
They rise on the right occasion. Right.
We're now 27 years removed from the last time the Cowboys even played in an NFC Championship game. Obviously, you were on that team 2 weeks before beating the Steelers in Super Bowl 30 for your third win in 4 years. I would have never dreamed somebody, and Chris and I have talked about this, if somebody would have told me that year that early 2023, the Cowboys still haven't been back to one of the games to get to the Super Bowl. I said, there's no way. These are the Cowboys. The right. Cowboys are always in it. What needs to happen now to punch through? Next year or the year after?
Well, there's a lot of evaluation that needs to take place. Not necessarily just on the player side of the equation, but also on even the coaching side. I think Dan Quinn has done an excellent job with our defense. Excellent job. He got the guys playing at a totally high level. They're playing not only with confidence, but they're playing fast. And they're playing even to some level of discipline there. Offensively, I'm not sure we're playing at a high level, mm-hmm. level yet.
Right.
And there are coordinators that try to achieve, I want to run 90 plays a game.
Right.
How they get to the damn 90 may not be in line with the talent that you actually have on the team.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so I think there's an opportunity to reduce a lot of those 90 plays and come up with 25, 30 staple plays that we run, and we run them with perfection.
Right.
And it's hard for somebody to stop it, even if they know it's coming.
You were built like that, your Cowboys teams,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You kind of, like the dad always taught, we knew what defense they're going to line up with. They just were so good at it and so good, it didn't matter.
It just didn't matter.
And so you guys, with some of your running plays, like you had 4 or 5 running plays, right?
It just didn't matter.
Yeah.
You had to stop them.
But you executed them perfectly.
We executed them perfectly every time.
Right.
And I think from that point forth, then you can start working your way and building your way to
little
the
things off of it,
yes,
right?
Yes,
right.
Personnel groupings,
right,
and everything else
right.
can change. I can run the same 25 plays 9 different times with
different formation, personnel, whatever.
You know,
right, right.
I don't see
right.
that.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I don't even see that at the college level.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I think coaching has gone down in those areas because they're so caught up in trying to run so many different plays and
right.
RPO this and RPO that,
yeah.
that they are leaving the basics and the fundamentals alone.
Right. So you probably respect like the 49ers and what they do because they kind of do that.
Yeah.
Like what you're talking about.
Exactly.
They're old school.
Very much old school.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet very effective. Even in today's world,
right.
that old school West Coast system
yeah.
works
Working.
With the Niners.
Right.
And it works with Shanahan.
Yeah.
And you know what? He can flip the switch at any point in time and go downhill at your behind.
Yeah.
And run it with daggone Debo Samuels, a wide receiver,
yeah.
and Chris McCaffrey.
Right.
And another guy going running back.
Yeah. I have so many things I want to ask you right now. All right, first off, what's your feel for this current state of running backs in the NFL? Do you wish they'd do something to help these guys out financially a little bit, like earlier on in their career?
Why not?
Why not? Right.
Why not? I mean, well,
they're getting killed, and then it's time for a second contract, and they don't get paid.
This is why you have a two-system running back system.
Yeah.
It's to reduce the money.
Yeah.
Because if I can go to a high-paying dollar guy that's worth it, worth the money.
Right.
And I said, well, your contract up. Yeah, you only get this many carries. You only get at 900 yards or 1,000 yards.
Right.
And the other guy's getting 800. Well, you're not in the top five.
Yeah.
Elite.
Yeah.
Well, is that my fault?
Right. You just didn't give me the ball
enough.
Right, right.
So you're trying to break my money up amongst two guys. And that's what I'm starting to see.
Yeah, there's
versus,
a lot of that.
There's a lot of that going on. I mean, but, and again, I understand why, too, because the running back position, you don't have that bell cow guy.
Yeah.
Do you really want a bell cow guy is the question. You got a Derrick Henry, and you may have a Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, even Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
That's about it, Right.
Zeke used to be that.
Right.
But now you got Tony Pollard running, doing both.
Yeah.
They both are doing it that way, and they've both been very effective. So, therefore, the money comes down.
I know. I worry about it. I wish they'd help these guys a little. Or they ride them too hard in the first 5 years, and then they go, well, you're not the same anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can't pay you.
Exactly.
Who do you think is back next year? Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, both, neither?
I think both.
Wow.
I think both because Pollard, because of his situation, his ankle, not many teams are going to be flocking to get him.
Going to hurt his market.
Isn't that horrible, too? That's the thing. You're right on the brink.
Yeah.
And there it is in a playoff game. And there goes your opportunity to either get the franchise tag money or hit the open market.
Correct. He can't hit the open market. And I think they may put the franchise tag on him and give him a chance to recover for next year. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's hard. Back to your point.
Right.
And I think the league can do something about those tackles, too, because you see a lot of guys tackling that.
Hip drop.
Well, hip drop.
You know, you're perfect to talk about this with. He's heard me say this. Like, that stuff didn't go on in your era.
No.
And one of my things is the gloves on the defensive guys.
Right.
They don't fall off people anymore.
Right.
Like, I used to watch you stiff arm people, and they fell off. Now, I feel like if you stiff arm one of these guys, they still are on you because the gloves never let go, and then you get put in some awkward position.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they got to say some of these tackles are just not good.
It's just not good. I mean, these hip tackles and riding the guy down. That's
it's like
what
a
got,
rodeo.
It is a rodeo. It's another form of.
Like hog tie.
It's another form of.
Horse call.
Horse call.
It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Pulling a guy down from behind, and then you get a leg injury. The way you fall down, the guy falls down on top of him.
It's
makes
like
it all
you're doing is just laying your weight back down and just laying on his leg.
Exactly.
Trying to, I mean, that's the way you hurt
people.
It's
got
to go. It has to
go. Got to go.
All right.
People are not tackling any longer.
No.
One way you help people from time to time when they drink responsibly is to have a little Herradura tequila.
Yeah.
You're back.
Yeah.
We got a bottle.
I'm back.
Ooh,
and
baby.
It looks great.
I always come bearing gifts during this time of year. So if y'all don't see me until next year, just know next year you're going to get another gift.
All right. All right.
But obviously this tequila, the Ultra Añejo, is a fine tequila. I didn't bring Ultra last year.
No, you didn't bring Añejo last
I brought
year.
Double Barrel Reposado last
boom,
year.
Boom, boom.
But this right here is Ultra Añejo. And Top Chef, I like to drink mines on a big rock.
Yeah.
Herradura right now is going to be the big-time sponsor and the lead sponsor. And the main sponsor at the Kentucky Derby this year.
So
This brand is on its way up.
All right.
That's
I like
it's
it.
It's got the horseshoe on the front,
yes,
so it's fitting to be part
fitting.
Of the Kentucky Derby.
We do some tequila here, so definitely. I'm a crushed ice and a little bit of a lime in my tequila.
Just crushed ice?
Just crushed
get
ice.
A big rock next
I know. Sometimes I like it a little watered down just a little bit.
The big rock. Once it breathes,
it's good.
The big rock got you covered, homie.
All right. I'll try.
It's going to keep it chilled the whole
time. Emmett says so. I listen.
Here's something to try. Tequila mixed with an Italian liqueur called Di Serrano. It is
See, he's getting
awesome.
All Italian stallion on you now
it
over
is
here.
Awesome. I tried it one night, and I had one, and I was feeling good. I had a second one, and I was
what tequila
feeling
did you
a little
use?
Too good. Herradura.
Did you really?
Yeah. No, I didn't have any, but now I do.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention any
the
other tequilas.
He gave him to last year. He got through
was
it.
Was it a Reposado that you use, or was it?
No, it was Añejo.
It was Añejo?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, give it a try.
Good.
All right, one of the all-time greats, the all-time leading rusher still to this day and probably for a long time to come, the great Emmitt Smith. When we return, an awesome receiver will be on set. You got to stick around to find out who it is. We'll be back with more right after this.
Shotgun snap to Joe. He throws it down the left sideline.
Oh,
leaping catch
baby.
For a touchdown. Yeah. T. Higgins, full grown man, leaps at the goal line and reels it in. Thing of beauty on the throw from Joe Burrow.
There he is, and here he is, T. Higgins, Bengals receiver. Awesome to have you here, T. Welcome. Congratulations on all your success. Bengals looking good. Arrow pointing up. How you feeling?
Feel good, man. You know. Thanks to Old Spice for having me here. You know,
well, he's already a pro working.
Look at this. He's going right in. He's like, I got business to take care of. All right, give us your spiel then. Tell us, sell us some Old Spice right off the bat.
They always keeping me fresh with their swaggers, man. It's just, you know, put it on every morning.
Yeah.
Even before games, man. Always feeling good.
Right.
Fresh.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I've done this with everybody up here this week. I'm going to do it again, just so you know.
You know it goes on the inside. He does know it goes on the inside.
It makes me smell good for the rest of the day.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm good.
Sure.
Now I got some swagger. All right. First off, I mean, are you gotten to this point where it's just like, hey, Joe, doesn't matter. I'm double teamed, but just throw it up to me, huh?
Yeah, man. I mean, and sometimes I was just like, bro, give me a chance.
You're right.
I'm going to make that play. It's up to me. It's 80-20.
Yeah, so. It's 80-20. It's not 50-50. I like that. So what about – I'm always interested because you look like you can jump through the roof. Like, we talking any dunk we want on the basketball court?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to know what that feels like.
How competitive are the receivers among each other? Because you got three great ones.
Right.
How do you guys interact and, you know, who makes the big catch or practice or whatever? Do you guys have that rivalry going internally?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely coming into every game, we always have a little side bet, you know, who's going to have the most yards, who's going to have the most touchdowns. I feel like that helps us stay competitive and helps us stay in the game. You know, when one's going off, we're cheering for one another no matter what. So,
You bitter right now a little, you know, that you're not here?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that it comes with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I got some friends that's on the Chiefs, so, you know, I'm proud of those guys as well.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, talk about the Chiefs a little bit. You know, I mean, you got the best of them the last few times, all right? You guys got a great rivalry. Like, you're both Super Bowl caliber teams. What makes them, you know, special or better maybe this year than they were even last year in your mind?
Man, they was just, you know, able to finish. You can tell they're together as a team.
Yeah.
And they just got that mindset that they're going to get it done and finish at the end of the day.
Like you guys, a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah. We just wasn't able to finish.
Right.
Well, and I also feel like the way that you guys got treated in the aftermath of the game that was canceled, I feel like everybody in the organization was upset and kind of used it as a galvanizing force, as a motivator. Like, hey, we're getting the short end of it here. Like, we're going to do a coin flip maybe to see if we have to go play in Baltimore even though we won the division, and then not talking about neutral site. We got to go on the road. And did how much of that really provided kind of that, you know, that kick in the ass in the postseason?
Well, definitely, you know, with the coin flip thing, obviously no one liked that. But we ended up winning that game, then getting that home playoff game. But we just have to play it like, you know, I mean, the rules are the rules. They got the rules there for a reason. And we just have to just, you know, just be us at the end of the day and just go out there and ball.
You, I want to jump off that a little bit. Like, you guys seem like one of the closest teams there is. You know, what is it? What is it about you, Jamar, Joe, that it seems like there's no egos? You're just in it.
Right.
You hang out with each other a lot off the field, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely try to do that. You know, me, Jamar, Joe, TB, sometimes the running backs. We do Taco Tuesdays almost every Tuesday.
Okay.
You know, just to keep that, you know, that connection.
Yeah.
And you a beef, you a chicken, shrimp, what do you put in the tacos?
All of it.
All of it, you don't care?
I switch it up. Sometimes I have beef, sometimes I have shrimp, you know, chicken. And my favorite, though, is taco salad.
That's taco salad.
Yeah.
I ordered one for lunch today.
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Taco salad? All right, so wait, tell us, too, because we're fans of you guys. I mean, we talk about you and Jamar. Joe, talk about Joe and just what, you know, what is it about the Joe Burrow magic that kind of seems to, you know, kind of permeate through the team to give you guys confidence?
He's just one of those leaders that you can see the poise within him. You know, he comes in same time early. You know, he's going to do what he needs to do, even on the field. And if a guy's not, you know, having a good practice, he's going to speak up.
He will. Like, he'll mother F some guys every now and then.
He'll say something to you, for sure.
Will.
Like, it was one time where guys was, like, going in the huddle slow.
Right.
And he's letting us know, like, man, this is championship week, man.
Get your butt in and out of the huddle. Yeah. We got to have some pace.
Yeah, and, you know, you always want a guy like that running the show. So.
Right, right.
When it's cigar time. Do you smoke one when he breaks them out?
I didn't this year. Last year I did.
Did you like get sick to the stomach the first time you had one?
Yeah, I ain't like it.
Yeah,
like
it. Right. I'm with you.
Chris likes a different cigar.
I like the other kind of cigars with the green stuff inside it. That's what I like.
You know, something weird happened last week too. All of a sudden, your name was trending because somebody reported something like you're going to be traded or instead of getting a contract or whatever. What's your reaction when you see that just kind of come up out of the blue? That kind of BS.
Yeah, I seen that. Obviously, I ain't say nothing about it. Nobody within my, you know, within my team said anything about it. So when I seen it, it was shocking to me. But at the end of the day, I know what I got going on internally with the organization, and you know, I love Cincinnati. I love being there, and hopefully I'm there for, you know, most of my career.
I mean, you got to feel like something special is brewing, right?
For sure.
I mean, so. Tip of the iceberg. All right, so give me, like, you know, he asked you about Ja'Marr Chase. What's one thing that you wish you could take from Ja'Marr Chase and one thing you think he probably wants to take from you?
Yeah, you know, his route running is precise. You know,
it is, right?
I would definitely, you know, take that from him.
Like his ability just to stick the foot in the ground and make a 90-degree turn.
Then especially his yak, his run after catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
The acceleration is, right?
Yeah. And I think one thing he could take from me is, you know, obviously the high points.
Yeah, you want the high points.
That's right.
He can't mess with you in that department.
Oh, no. I got that one. I got that one a lot.
Good.
Hey, you know, one other thing I want to say, and we're glad you're here. The stuff that happened with DeMar Hamlin. And I'm not going to name names, but there were some folks in our business
that were stupid.
That were spreading some bullshit.
Yeah.
And it was some dumbass stuff. It was a normal play. That play happens all the time.
Every game,
in every
10
game
times
that gets
game.
Played of every level. It was the flukiest of the fluke things. So, you know, and again, I don't know how much of that got. You had to be. I mean, I know if you're the one who is the person who hits him, you're going to be feeling it. But it just happens. There's no fault. There's no one to blame. It just happened.
So basically, with all that, obviously, you know, I'm the one that, you know, initiated the contact.
Right.
Just trying to make a football play, trying to gain extra yards.
Catch
the
ball, tucking
your head
down.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And obviously, I seen the comment, but I didn't really think nothing of it. I mean, that's his opinion. Other people had their opinions. And I know what happened, and I know what type of play it was. I know what I was trying to do. You know, I talked to the family and everything was all good.
Yeah. So.
It's good you take the high road. I mean, not everything is subject to two opinions.
Right.
Sometimes there can only be one opinion and the other one is just bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that's what this one was. So I'm glad you're handling it well because I know how I'd feel. I know how we all feel if we were the ones who just happened to be in that wrong place at the wrong time. And it's good that he's doing well. The NFLPA's doctor said yesterday he's going to play again. Guaranteed he's going to play again.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's the first time I heard this.
Right. So. All right. Well, while we're on that subject, like, give us like just a little minute spiel about how that kind of, like, all right, he goes down, right? And you're probably like, okay, he got a head thing or whatever, right?
So basically.
When did you know or it got real?
So the play, when he tackled me, he was on top of me. Obviously, you don't want nobody on you, so I'm like, you know, get up off me.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, he stood up.
Right.
And I seen him fall, but I'm thinking that one of my teammates, like, bumped him. He just flopped. So I just look back like, oh, he's flopping. Right. I'm like, get up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then I look back again.
Right.
That's what everybody
and
like.
And Joe Mixon's like, wait, get people
that's
out of here.
That's when I knew it was serious. I was like, oh, no. Nah.
Right.
I just had to turn my head.
Right. Okay, so you think it's serious then, but then you weren't thinking like, oh, man, it's a heart attack, right? You're not thinking
I wasn't thinking nothing crazy. I just thought, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe it could
head
be like
issue,
a concussion
whatever.
Or something. Yeah.
Right, a little woozy.
Yeah.
And then, all right, so how many minutes go by to where it starts to, now the Bengals sideline starts to go, oh, this is like this?
It's probably like 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes go by. Then everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? And then, obviously, me, Joe Mixon, and some of the guys telling the other guys what happened. And,
right.
And it was just crazy, yeah.
Man.
Well, it was a weird night, a strange night, unprecedented for a lot of us. And I'm just glad you're doing well. Everybody focused on DeMar as we should, but you were part of it too, and I'm glad that you're doing well. And you're doing well on the field. Bengals are doing well. We say this to all the guys who make it to the playoffs. We don't want to see you here next year.
Yeah, don't be here.
But we want you to be practicing this week.
Too. Time to get paid. Send me one of those necklaces when you do, okay?
I got you. All right.
T. Higgins, Bengals receiver. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Home isn't just a place. It's a state of mind, like curling up in a comfy chair as you watch the world go by.
Good afternoon.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.